Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it couldn't be that long ago. I'm kidding. But when you knew me, I think I was driving a broke down minivan and, you know, just doing my thing and whoa, craziness. But here we are today, and this title, what moves you to move, and so many people may not have phrased it that way, but they think of it that way, right? But what I've learned over the years is that people really need to understand before they ask themselves what moves them to move is what has caused them not to move. Right, so people go into the New Year's with resolutions. You know, these people have been on Earth for 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe even 6 decades. And so many people coming into 2017 have goals and have 2016 goals they've yet to accomplish. And I had to ask myself this probably about a decade ago, like what was it that was holding me back? And as an executive coach, I'm privy to a lot of intricate parts of people's lives. And there's kind of four basic or common reasons why people don't move, and then I'll share my reason for not moving at the time that I didn't. So the four common reasons I've picked up over the years are discouragement, mm-hmm. right? Disappointment, whether it be in self or others. Settling, right? There's when I'm talking to high school students or college students, I use this adage where boys specifically, right? Fourth grade, fifth grade, you want a Lamborghini. Junior high, you're like, I'm going to get a Lamborghini when I graduate college. Here you are at the age of 30, and there's nothing wrong with driving a Ford Tempo if that's your thing, but it's definitely not a Lamborghini. So what happened? So settling. And I read a post on Instagram a couple of days ago. It said something to the effect of we hate life, and then we turn 35, and we settle with what we have, right? And we call it happiness. And the fourth one is lack of confidence, right? So the four common reasons: discouragement, disappointment, settling, and then lack of confidence. Those are the four major reasons I've seen for people, let's just call it, not identifying their dreams and their goals. And I'm going to pause every now and then because I get so passionate and excited about this, I will just run.
Yeah.
And it's your show.
I appreciate you for that. But let me, because I only got three of them. I forgot what the last one was. Don't tell me. Discouragement, disappointment, settling, and what was the last one?
Lack of confidence.
Confidence. Yes, sir. No, take it away. Go ahead.
Nice. And there's a process called unlearning, right? Mm. And I'm typically going to refer back to the age of 30. So when you hit about 30, at that point in time, for those of you that have gotten your MBA, maybe your doctorate, you go into some sort of corporate world and things don't work out the way you thought they were. Or even if you don't go, say you're an entrepreneur and you hit 30 and you're not where you wanted to be. Well, you've got 30 years of learned behavior that has dictated where it is you're going to go in your life. And what a lot of people fail to realize, to include myself, I realize it now, is that there's past hurts that we've yet to get over. Up until, mind you, I got out of high school, joined the military, I got out of that, did the poetry thing for a while, then I became a cop, and I had been, I think, when I left law enforcement, I was only 28, and up until about 28, 29, maybe even 30, as a grown man with all that life experience, I still blamed my parents for my current lack of success.
Right.
Right? And we don't acknowledge those emotional barriers that hold us back. And what happens is you end up causing what's called a limiting belief system in self.
Mm.
You know, I was listening to my dad talk the other day, and he comes up with these quirky like phrases, and he's like, "You're more than your just a," for example. And for those of you that don't know, sidebar, I stuttered to the point where I couldn't introduce myself until I was about 20, 21 years of age. Now I speak. So the limiting mindset is huge, and having the ability to unlearn things that cause behaviors so you can be more effective down the road is so huge. But my dad does this thing, you're more than just a. Because I've heard people say, well, I'm just a kid from the hood, or I'm just a white guy with a degree, or I'm just a girl, or I'm just a cop, or I'm just a singer, I'm just a poet, I'm just an author. Well, let me explain something to you. Like, your just A is your primary ingredient to your success, to living your dreams and attacking and being intentional about your goals. I had to get over I'm just prior military. I'm just a veteran. I was just a cop. I never went to college.
Mm.
I barely graduated high school. Grew up in a rough part of town, right? A lot of things happened as a kid, but those things, like, gave me some real-life experiences. Like, I'm not just A. Like, I have my own backstory.
That just A is so, you know, in the way sometimes people put things, it just catches you. I remember driving in the car coming from a workshop, a life skills workshop.
Right.
And I remember saying those exact words in the car, talking to God. I said, why do you keep putting me in these places? I'm just a poet. I'm telling you, I said that. And I remember driving in the car after saying it, and my life flashing before me, and all of my experiences, and all these things that I've
right.
been through, and realized that you have more to offer than just poetry.
Right.
I wouldn't put you in these places if you didn't.
Exactly.
Because they are so much bigger than me. I mean, I'm going into rehab centers and correctional facilities with young women, not realizing that they have all these stories and experiences to share, and I'm just giving you my poetry. And it's like, but you're not. You're giving them your life.
Right.
You've gone through some things.
Right.
So I can totally relate to that. I don't say that anymore.
Because you're bigger and better than that. And this is a sidebar as well. One thing I started doing last year was when I'm out and about, I put my phone away. Because what do most people do? You see them in line. You see them everywhere they're at. They're on their phone doing something. I met this young man. I saw him reading in some coffee shop, some cafe I was in. And I just walked past him. I was like, hey, bro, what book are you reading? And he told me. We started chatting it up. And nowadays, like, you can see hurt on people's faces.
Yeah, you can.
And, like, I've been through too much, but I've also been blessed too much to not share, right? And I've never come across somebody, mind you, I used to be the guy, well, I'm just A, right? I used to be that guy, but I just told him, like, bro, I don't know what you're going through, but you're about to make some things happen. That's a great book. A lot of people don't read today. He asked me for my number. I gave it to him, my business card, and he called me about a month later, and I just poured into his life for like 30 minutes. I'm good at what I do, that I know, and I completely changed his life.
Wow.
And just in 30 minutes, and I'm like, yo, if I was on my phone, like, and not paying attention to people, because without people, like, this world would not exist if it wasn't for people, right?
That connection is so important. We actually have somebody on the line.
Nice.
And who am I speaking with? And thank you for joining us, and don't hold your tongue, right?
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don Jr., CEO, calling from sunny Mesa, Arizona. My radio network is syndicated out of sunny Las Vegas. And I was listening to the brother speak. I've been a business consultant for over 19 years. And, brother, I want to commend you. A lot of times when you're the guy that's pouring into the cup, it's hard to find other people to pour into your cup. And what people don't realize, when you're making moves, going to these conventions and seminars, it might be 100 people in the room and they're all looking at you. But at some point or another, you have to find other people to pour into your cup. So without holding my tongue, I want to give you an encouraging word. It's not the people we see. It's the people that's in the audience that we don't see. They come back to us 2 years later and say, I was there. I seen you. Your two-minute
right.
segment changed my life. And that's what we do it for.
My man, you couldn't have said it. You couldn't have said it better, my man. Thank you.
Hey, man, well, I'm a pastor, man. I love what y'all are doing. I have 300 members on the winning team. We're a cohesive collective, just like the Spartans. We believe in professionalism provides positive results. So I'm going to have my people call in, man. I see y'all got 40 minutes left in the show. We want to get these lines hopping because it's hard to get a brother like this with education, wisdom, is willing to share. So we want to make sure you utilize to the best of your resources.
All right, man. Well, I'm gonna put my information will be on this show. You ever? I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. You ever want me to hop on my Ducati and come out there to talk to your congregation about being successful? Let me know. I'll come out there. No problem.
Hey man. Well, I'm about to start sending them in, man. I once again, I'm Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I'll be on for the duration of the show. I'm taking
all right
notes, and I appreciate y'all.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling. I appreciate that.
Thank you for calling in. Yeah, Dom. It's That human connection, man, is big, and a lot of people don't realize it. And I know that media, or should I say the social networks, and
right.
that make it convenient and easy
mm-hmm.
for people to just, hey, what's up? What are you doing? Or,
right.
you know, to connect that way. But let me tell you, that touch, that look, that conversation
mm-hmm.
in person, my goodness. Is important, and you really don't know how much you have to add on to somebody's bridge unless you are sitting with them and talking with them and asking them questions and, you know, not being
right.
afraid of that or each other.
Right, and that guy, Pedro was his name. I went to the mailbox this morning, and I had a book in the mail from him. It says, to a friend who has helped add value to my life. I'm like, yo, that's what it's about, right? You know, when you get those instant messages real quick to say, hey, man, I got the promotion. Thank you, right? And we talked about unlearning, and kind of three topics I want to cover are unlearning. One, number two is valuing self and becoming more self-aware. And then three, just starting. So, again, my name is Dom Fawcett. You can follow me on Instagram at Dom Fawcett. Spelling is D-O-M as in Mary Fawcett, F as in Foxtrot, A-U, F-F-E-T-T-E. I'm on Facebook, which is, I think, Leaders for Leaders or Dom Fawcett. And then YouTube is Think, React, Lead, all one word, Think, React, Lead. But so let's talk about valuing self, right? So I was K-9 in the military. So I have a lot of, like, compassion for dogs, a lot of connection with dogs. And dogs remind me a lot of humans just from a validation standpoint, right? Valuing self. For those of you that have a dog, you get up in the morning. If your dog uses the bathroom on the floor, slows you down, and you may or may not be late for work, like, it's going to irritate you, may even get you a little upset. You're going to get to work. You'll be gone for 8, 9, 10 hours. When you come back home,
mm-hmm.
you'll forget the fact that that dog did that for the simple fact that when you open the door,
mm-hmm.
the front door, back door, whatever, the dog runs up to you and greets you. The dog doesn't say a word. All the dog does is give you this dog version of facial expression. What that in turn does to you is it validates your existence. So what do? You go from, I come home in a suit every day. I go from, you know, the guy in the suit to, that's a good boy, da-da-da-da. And you act a complete fool for 15 seconds. Like, you would never act like that with any person. But check this out. What that dog did for you and validated your existence, you forgot the dog crapped on the floor, you forgot the dog chewed up your shoe, you forgot everything, but just the fact the dog basically smiled at you. Now, in turn, if you were to do that to the people that you come in contact with, so not rubbing behind the ears, but you be the dog, so you go up to them and just smile at them and ask them how was their day, and, you know, so this would be the human version of wagging your tail. If you were to do that with people, like, how many people's lives would you change? Right? One thing I've seen as a cop, I don't care if I responded to some broke-down house in the hood or a multimillionaire's home, people go through stuff, and they shoulder it, and it just gets into their heart, and it eats up their heart. It causes cancer. It causes diseases. And then they just clam up and don't ever talk to anybody. But if you were to actually just say hi to a person. Like, how do you know that person needed that high and needed to see your teeth? Why did God give you teeth? Right? So obviously to eat, because, you know, but outside of that, like, it brightens up people's day. Like, why are teeth white? Because it brightens up the environment that you're in. But check this out on a deeper level, and I'll just touch on it, and I'll step off.
Yeah.
You walk in, for those of you that have a relationship issues, stop walking into the house with an attitude. Right? I'm going to roll reverse. Fellas, if you're at home and your wife comes in with an attitude, just smile. Rub her temples. And brothers, you can take it from there. But, you know, if you just smile at people,
yeah.
Right? I saw another post the other, I think I may have posted this. It was something to the effect of, people matter, your opinions don't. Most people don't get paid for their opinions. I currently get paid for my opinions, so I can't say I don't. But most people don't get paid for their opinions, right? And if the opinion that you're giving makes you feel good, more oftentimes it's the wrong time to talk. Because when it makes you feel good, you're doing that, like, there's that adverse emotion connection, like, I got you. Like, we got to stop doing that. Read a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
Very popular book.
Very popular. I read it once a year. You know, where was it? Really kind of like, what moves you to move? You really got to find out what taking ownership is. So are you willing to bet on yourself, right? Last year, I invested a pretty large chunk of change into my business. And I'll be transparent. I took the money out of my 401k because I was like, I could be dead tomorrow. But what lives can I impact today? So I need to take out a lot of money so I can reach a lot more people. And I've earned my money back. But when you invest in your business or invest in yourself, man, like, you just level up. Like, it's just the way that works, right? If you and then don't compare. I have fallen prey to that. With social media being so rampant, like, people, women, be okay with the jiggly parts. Most men like that. Like, let me explain it to you. People don't walk around with abs. Like, on a good day, I have one. In a suit, I look like I have a six-pack, but on a good day. So I'm talking like 120 days past Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'll have one ab come May, right? But stop comparing yourself to people.
Yeah.
I used to compare myself to people all the time. And I was like, for what? Like, I still stutter periodically. That's the way God made me. Moses stuttered. He did all right for himself. Love what you do. But before you can love what you do, you got to love yourself. So many, and this is gender specific, so many women are supporters of others. But for some strange, and I typically know what the reasons are, but more oftentimes than not, they do not support themselves.
Yeah.
Women, and this is going to be a hard pill to swallow, stop dedicating your life to your children.
Amen.
Your children will only be children, hopefully, until they're about 18.
Right.
And if you raise them right, they leave. And when they leave and you've poured your whole life into them, what do you have when they're gone?
Let me just say something real quick on that. That's key. It's key. It's so key. People have bad relationships. They separate. I'm all about my kids.
Man.
And I get that. And I respect the love and the care you have for your children. At the same time, we need that companionship.
Right.
We need that time even to ourselves. And to know who we are and what we enjoy. Because when your children do go up and leave,
right,
and they find their niche,
right,
and they're ready to go, what you going to do?
You stop.
And then the thing is, a lot of us resent our kids for it.
Right.
But we made that decision.
Or we don't resent our kids. They don't resent the kids. They resent the kid's spouse, which is sad, right?
Yeah. You know, I have to say real quick, my son, he'll be 18 in February.
Okay.
This was just a conversation we had maybe a year and a half ago. I was eating breakfast with him, and we were talking about college, and he had mentioned Florida. And I said, really? I was like, you want to leave? You ready to go? He goes, Ma, I'm not ready to go right now, but I will be ready to go. And just at that moment, to hear it from my child,
right,
I'm going to leave. He was okay with it. Why can't I be okay with it? So I'm learning a lot through my children.
Mm-hmm.
And I do realize, and I speak a lot from experience because I don't want to seem preachy in a sense. Because
right.
A lot of this is so relatable. I can so feel Mr. Forsett big time on this whole thing. I learn a lot from my children, but I also take the time for me. It may seem selfish to a lot of people.
Right.
That's a lot of time in their kids, and I get it. But you need that time as well. And
mm-hmm.
you really can't blame anyone but yourself.
Right.
For that time you're not taking for you. We do have somebody joining us again online.
Nice.
I'm
loving this.
Right now. Thank you so much for joining us at Don't Hold Your Tongue Radio. Who am I speaking with? Are you there? Okay. Well, hopefully they'll call back. I can't hear you. If you can hear me, I can't hear you. Give me 1 second. All right. You are live right now on Don't Hold Your Tongue Radio. Who am I speaking with? Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and hang up, and if you want, you can definitely call back. Yes, sir.
You got me?
Yes, sir.
Nice.
We actually have somebody on the line, so give me 1 second.
Good. Loving it.
Okay. Are you there? You are live on Don't Hold Your Tongue Radio.
Hi, my name is Will. How are you?
I'm good, Will. Thank you so much. And welcome. Mr. Forsett is on the line with us.
Hey, Will. How you doing, man?
I'm good. It's actually, I'm calling on behalf of my dad because he had watched a movie that dealt with the very sort of subjects you're talking about, and he's trying to remember the name of it. I'm wondering if he can describe it to you so you can maybe tell him what film that is.
Yeah, why not? Bring him on.
That's all right?
Of course.
Yes, sir.
Okay, hey, his name's Howard. Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Howard, how you doing, sir?
Radio. Go ahead.
I'm good. Thank you for taking my phone call. So, basically, yeah, it was a film I saw, and if you know the title of it, please let me know. It starts, there's a stepbrother and a stepsister, and the stepsister is reading, and the stepbrother walks in, he has a pain, and he says, "You're a physical therapist, I think you could help me with this." Does this ring any bells?
No, not for me.
Not for me. I'm not a big movie watcher, but I don't know, Mr. Forsett, are you?
No, nothing is coming up. No, I can't think of anything.
Anyway, so he has like a towel on, and he lays down. So she goes, "Yeah, I'll help you out." Anyway, she starts rubbing sort of the groin area, and she goes, "Well, I bet you like that." You know, does it ring any bells?
No. What is?
Okay, so what I did, I went ahead and disconnected the call because it didn't sound like it was going in the right direction. So if there's anything else that needs to be expressed or shared on the show, please feel free to chat with us. Mr. Forsett, I definitely want to keep you focused. So go ahead.
Yes, thank you.
We're speaking with. Yes, sir.
So we talked about taking ownership, and so bet on yourself, take risks, right? Don't compare. We covered that. Love yourself and love what you do, and believe in your goals. Believe in your dreams. I kind of have a rule of thumb that I've implemented in my life and clients' lives, and it's I call it the 80-20 rule. Right? There's a bunch of them out there, but this one goes like this: at the beginning stages of your dream chasing or working towards your goals, 80% of the people in your life should be helping you get to what it is or where it is you want to go, but then you got to pay for it to get back. So 20% of the people in your life, you should be helping them get to where they want to go.
Mm.
And as you continue down this journey and you become more successful, you start to become blessed, those numbers change, and you get to a point where, and the caller earlier stated, you know, you need some people in your life to kind of lift you up, right? You can't always go hard and hustle and grind, as the industry says all the time. So at this point, 20% of the people in your life should be helping you get to where you want to go. And then 80% of the people in your life, you should be helping them get to where they want to go.
I can understand that, sure.
Because, you know, I can be honest and say I used to be selfish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very, very stuck on myself. And a lot of that stemmed from not loving who I was. So the selfishness comes out, right? Just like a hurt dog, right? You want to help them out and their broken leg and they attack you. Well, once I started loving who I was, I started believing in who I was. But once I started loving who I was, it was much easier for me to love others and to understand that when most people hurt you, they're really not doing it to hurt you. They just don't know how to express themselves.
And that's another, and again, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
But this is also key. And a lot of people take on that. They take on other people's pain and other people's hurt because
mm-hmm.
of what someone may say to them or how they may treat them. At the same time, isn't it a form of projection?
It's totally a form of projection, but what happens to the person that on the receiving end of that, what they'll do is they'll be offended.
Yeah.
The person that offended them may not know for the most part of the time, and they go on about their life. Mind, in hindsight, you're 5-10 years into this, and you're still holding on from a 5-minute incident that happened in your 20s and you're in your 30s. And that person is enjoying life while you're stuck holding on to this one thing.
Yes, sir. We have somebody joining us on the line.
All right.
Thank you so much for joining us at Don't Hold Your Tongue Radio. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, how you doing? My name's Charles.
Hello, Charles. Thank you for joining us. Mr. Forsett is on the line. Did you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, well, it's just I was listening to the show, and that was actually a real movie the guy had. I do know the title of it.
Okay. All right, I do apologize for that, Mr. Forsett.
No, it's fine.
All right, so go ahead.
You know, what I like about people like that is the more people in the world like that, it removes, they're no longer competition. If everybody operated like you and I did, then we'd have a lot more competition. So
sure.
I'm okay with that. But,
sure.
Right, I am good. But the last or the fifth point in taking ownership is leading your life, right? And if you lead your life, I do this exercise where I talk about bridging the gap between your mind and your heart, and I do that with my clients as an executive coach. And so many people lead their life from their mind because that's how the school system is set up, right? We're taught to take in in our head, never taught to really ask questions or ask why, and then just go out and do. But some of the most successful people that I've ever met lead their life from their heart. But if you take the intellect, so that's your IQ, and you bridge the gap between your IQ and your EQ, which is your emotional quotient,
mm-hmm.
and you bring them together, you're unstoppable. Because now you're positioning yourself to operate specifically and wholeheartedly in your purpose and your passion. And some of you guys out there know what that feels like. It's that thing that wakes you up at 3:17 in the morning, and then you go back to sleep, and you're up at 4:25 in the morning. Then you go back to sleep, and then when you finally get a chance to do it, you don't do it for 8 hours. You do it all day because it's just who you are. It's not work, and it puts a smile on your face.
Very much so, right.
So that's learning how to take ownership of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Is awesome, but it starts with becoming self-aware and adding value to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another exercise I have some of my clients do. You need to look yourself in the mirror and start telling you'd be amazed at how many people can't make eye contact with themselves in the mirror and tell themselves, I am gorgeous, I am beautiful, I am intelligent, I am the future millionaire, I am, you know, I'm all that in a bag of chips. I've got what it takes. I'm here to make it happen. Like, when I do that exercise, we get about 2 or 3 in, and they tears start to come out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard. But go ahead.
I'm going to go back real quick to loving yourself.
Yeah.
Because because, you know, things start to become cliche,
mm-hmm.
right? So then you hear this all the time. You got to love yourself. You got to love yourself. And, like, with anything, if you're in a habit, and like you were talking about earlier about unlearning,
mm-hmm.
there's so much that we have to unlearn in order to do, right? So this whole thing about loving yourself, it becomes very broad.
It does. Watered down, yeah, definitely.
So with that, and like you were talking about when you were talking about how, you know, women might be self-conscious about their body, or they've had so many children, they can't deal with the cellulite, or
right.
they're visible here and there, or whatever.
Right.
That, too, you know, it has to get unlearned when it comes to what doesn't look right, or what you shouldn't look like after you have kids, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
But as far as loving yourself, and that means everything, right?
I would agree.
The flaws. That means the and maybe it's not a flaw to you, you know, and maybe that's another part of it. It's a flaw to you. Maybe it's not a flaw to me, you know, and that's the part about loving yourself is that I'm okay with me and everything that I come with.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because you're absolutely correct. Loving yourself is a very, very broad term. Love yourself. And, you know, that's why I call myself an executive coach, not a life coach, although I'm very entrenched into people's lives. Most people don't know themselves well enough to love themselves. What the reason why they can't love themselves is because they're trying to love a version that society dictates they need to be, or parents says that they need to be, or a spouse says that they need to be. They're trying to love that person as opposed to loving the person that they were birthed to be. And when a person truly understands who they are,
mm-hmm.
and becomes intentional with understanding who they are, then loving themselves is, they don't even think about it. But the reason, and I'll reiterate, the reason why people struggle with loving themselves and adding value to themselves is because the person that they're trying to be is a person by way of societal pressures.
And that's what it is. And that's the, I think, sometimes the foundation of how many people walk through their lives.
Oh, yeah.
By what society, you know, puts out there. It is a lot of work to get to the point where you're okay with you.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the work necessary to breathe life into your dreams, to see your desires have legs, you know, to really see your dreams, like, come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
It's the work. But the work starts from right where you are.
It does. It does. And I really want people to draw the word authenticity. Like, I want you to be authentic with who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, we lie to ourselves so long, and some people go to the grave not knowing who they are.
Right.
And I'm just going to touch on this subject, but if people operate a lot of times based off their culture, based off their gender, right? If you look at a 6-foot-plus Caucasian male, blue eyes, blonde hair, like, the pressures of the world are on his shoulders. Why? Because society says he has to be successful. And society says that he's got to have it all together. Society says that, like, he's got what it takes to make it happen. And he's not able to, he's forced into this. And then my sister-in-law is Jordanian, and as a kid, she was told she was going to be a doctor. Like, that was it. She's not a doctor now, but at the age of 30, you know, she finally realized, you know, I don't want to be a doctor.
Mm.
You know, and that goes on for every gender and culture and race and ethnic background, but people just need to understand, like, remove all those complexions about yourself and understand, and I use this analogy. If you were an apple, like, everybody has so much potential, and they don't operate in their fullest potential.
Mm-hmm.
Your average apple has about, like, your average Macintosh apple has about 6 seeds in it, right? Those 6 seeds are your, say, 6 streams of income or 6 areas of potential. You don't just have one area of potential. So if you were to plant all 6 seeds of potential,
mm-hmm.
mind you, don't do what a lot of people do. They just throw it out there and hope it takes and they make $1 million. No, you gotta find the right soil to plant your seeds in. And once you plant your seeds, you gotta wake up early in the morning and you gotta till that soil and you gotta water that soil And you have to understand the process in which each of those seeds are going to break, but not at the same time. And then once that stem starts to come to the ground, like, that's a process. That ground's got to stay wet and moist, and it can't dry. Like, you don't have the luxury of sitting in front of TV and catching up on shows. Like, you don't have the luxury of saying, oh, I'm tired. Right? You don't have – you should – if you eat right, you wouldn't be tired. If you were more purposeful in your day, you wouldn't be tired. And then once your six seeds that you've planted begin to grow, like, now you have six trees that, you know, produce 1,000 apples that can feed the world. But now people are paying for your apples.
That's right.
Right? Okay. You know, I just – It's just amazing to see people and their potential. I interviewed a guy. Actually, I met one of him. I went to his headquarters the other day. But this guy was a foster kid. Long story short, he lives here in Phoenix, owns a company called World Corporation. But this dude went through some things. Dropped out of high school. Some mentor made him go back to high school. And then he decided, you know what, I want to go to college. I want to fly planes. Goes to college, has an apartment. And he couldn't afford the apartment, so he bought like a $400 car and just used the lamp. He lives in the car and used the headlamp to study.
Wow.
And then he finally joined the military. But this dude has a $1.5 million yacht. He's on his third Bentley. Regular, nicest guy you'll ever meet. But he's got a rough backstory. Like, if he can go through it, right? And then, you know, I heard a story the other day. That movie shooting in Colorado a couple years back, and I was not privy to this. Somebody told me yesterday. This lady's in there pregnant with her daughter and her boyfriend. Dude comes in shooting, boyfriend leaves. Guy shoots the daughter, shoots the lady in the stomach. She loses the child. She's in a wheelchair, but she's happy now. Like, I'm not, so when I say happy, she was probably happy then, but she travels the world motivating people.
Wow.
Like, people like I can't complain.
That's right.
But so many people complain as opposed to start finding a resolve. You've complained, I've complained, but it's never put any money in my pocket. It's never made me happier.
You know what I've done? I've put an expiration date on my stuff.
Right.
So if I'm going through something, I let myself know, okay, you got for so long to do this.
Right.
Because you got bills to pay.
Right.
You got things to take care of. You got to go cook in a few hours. You got to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that you have to ignore what's going on. It's acknowledge it, but I'm really all about solution. Like, where is, okay, what needs to happen? This is what's going on, so what needs to happen? Because really, sitting in my stuff is not making anything happen.
No.
So I've told a lot of the women because I deal with a lot of women, and I don't know. Yo, you need to put an expiration date on that, like, for real. I'm going to need you to come out of that real quick because we have stuff to do.
Right.
So that's my new thing now is putting an expiration date on it or a time frame or whatever and holding myself accountable for the things that are not being done and celebrating when they are getting done.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, exactly what you mean. And
yeah.
There's a
we sit in it, right. You know? Yeah.
We all like to have that feel sorry for me. I'm going through this, but you know what? One thing I've learned, like, if you start volunteering and you start giving back to your community or giving back to society, like, you really meet people that are going through things that you couldn't go through. I just got finished doing something for the Peoria Police Department, mm-hmm. and I met a kid, 16. And he showed up late a couple times. I'm like, bro, like, why are you showing up late? He's like, I gotta take care of my brother. Mm-hmm. Long story short, this dude's 16. He's a mm-hmm. good student, plays sports, but his mom works at night. His brother got shot 6 months ago,
mm-hmm.
paralyzed, and now his brother has, like, changed stuff. I don't know all the medical terms, but take care of his brother
mm-hmm.
intermittently throughout the night. And then go to school and get good grades. I'm like, wow. Like, how many of us say, I got to get my 6 to 8 hours of sleep? This
right.
kid gets 2 hours of sleep, wakes up for 30 minutes. 2 hours of sleep, wakes up for 30 minutes. Are you relying on luck to complete your goals, which that's nothing but a fantasy? Or are you relying on discipline
for real.
To get it done?
That's right. That's key. That's definitely key. I mean, you've been dropping a lot of keys this afternoon.
Right, I'm happy.
That is a
another key. Discipline is big, especially when you're working for yourself, especially when you decide to make that decision to do for you.
Right.
To build something for yourself, to put your name on something. Again, it's not something that happens overnight. It's something that you do need to put on paper, make a plan, you know, see it through.
Right.
Definitely a form of discipline, and a lot of us are not used to that. We're not privy to it. We don't have it as a habit.
We don't want it bad enough.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's
we do point. Not want it bad enough, and we ask permission. And what that sounds like is you go to your friends, or you go to your professor, or you go to an employer. Hey, what do you think about me doing blah 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 blah? Mm-hmm. You know, whatever your dream is. When I was 19, 20 years old and stuttering, if I were to go to somebody and say, hey, what do you think about me being a leadership speaker? Boy, please. Like, you can't even say your name. I mean, so many. I ride a Ducati 1199. It's my first motorcycle. Super fast, not cheap. But people would tell me, well, why would you get that as your first bike? Simply because, I don't have to explain myself to you. But since you've asked, I'll tell you.
Sure.
Or I work at a corporation. I have a business as well. Do I get a lot of sleep? Probably not. Do me and my wife see each other as much as we would like to? No, but we want certain things in life bad enough. Just now, mind you, I grew up in Inland Empire, San Bernardino, California, right? Gangs, the whole nine, right? The typical story. I never thought I was gonna get out the hood, but. In March of 2016, I was eating breakfast on the balcony of an overwater bungalow. Like, that, when I look at my life, that's some Google Images type stuff, right?
Exactly.
I'm in Tahiti. We got you wake up in the morning, you can see the sun and nothing but blue waters. The first thing you see, if I'm looking at my wife, is out like the blue waters and the sun when I wake up in the morning. And I'm like, yo, I'm just a kid, going back to that, I'm just a kid from San Bernardino, California.
Yes.
Wow, like I graduated with 3 F's in high school. And here I am, like I've placed myself in Google Images. But I had a dream board, like I've always wanted to go there. There's things I've always wanted to do. And when you position yourself to be happy, right? Like I can't afford $1 million home right now. But let me drive somewhere, Scottsdale, Paradise Valley, and I see an open house. Oh, I'm going to go in there.
Right.
I'm going to go in there with confidence, too.
Oh, and it's about claiming it.
Oh, yeah.
I love to claim it.
Right.
That's mine.
Right.
No question, no doubt. I mean, because once you doubt, you erase it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My mail might not come here today, but one day it will.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So... Man, I know I got two. How many minutes do we have left?
We got about 5 minutes.
Okay, good. So for the listeners out there, and for those of you that listen to this on a later date,
yeah,
just start. Like, if you have a business in your heart, if you start, if you are currently single and you want to be with somebody that when you really draw it on paper. Like, whoever, the person you're talking about being with might be out of your league. That's okay. Like, do the things you need to do to make that person that's currently out of your league in your league.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like,
right.
My wife and I just got married in March. She's got two masters, younger than I am, right? College athlete, softball, basketball. Like, on paper, at the time that I wrote the type of person that I wanted down, right? I write my goals down, and I typically keep them in my wallet or my attaché. And when we met, I'm like, yo, like, she's a business. Like, this is going to work, right? But how many of us settle, right? We talked about that earlier. We settle in our relationships, and we get mad 3 years later when things ain't working. Well, you didn't really like them to begin with, right? You didn't like yourself to begin with. Start the business. Who cares what it is? Who cares? My dad started a business 19 years ago, and my dad barely graduated high school, right, military,
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, back in the day, you're supposed to get a government job and, you know, live out your life. Literally, the other day, he took delivery of for you car people out there, a Porsche 911 Turbo S. That's a $200,000 car. But that's, hey, he's living his life. A lot of people told him he couldn't start his business. And he didn't realize he was a millionaire until his accountant or his office admin said, hey, you realize you're a millionaire now, right? No, I've just been hustling. I've been grinding. I've been doing this thing, right?
After a while, you don't even see it.
No.
You don't even see it. You just walk in so lovely in it.
Right.
It just becomes a part of you.
Right. You're enjoying the passion and potential that if you believe in God, God put in you or whatever you believe in. But whatever it is, it's there. Mm-hmm. But you need to nurture it, develop it, and not let past hurt and past verbiage from people, from your childhood, from past discouragement, past disappointment, from a lack of confidence. Not let that dictate your outcomes. Mm-hmm. And when you start, I learned last year, 2015, when you stop focusing on the money and start focusing on the impact and the hearts of the lives that you have the potential to change, I don't care if it's a tangible product or you're selling, like, I don't care what it is you're doing, whatever it is, it's a gift that you have to give to the world.
That's right.
So, my, you know, with the company, I have two companies, one's Leaders for Leaders, the other one's Think, React, Lead, but our motto for Think, React, Lead is think as an executive, react like a soldier, and lead. Just get out and do. When you start doing, it's crazy how people just start seeing your passion, and they'll reach out to you and just help you out.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. I've had all kind of people reach out to me.
It's an attraction.
Right.
Immediate attraction, because you release some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's
right.
The people like your air likes.
Right.
People that think like you, want like you, and are willing to assist, definitely.
Or people that have been where you are and be like, man, this dude's doing it wrong, but he's doing it. Let me spend 30 minutes with him, give him some information, and make it happen.
Let me help him out a little bit. Mr. Forsett, I certainly appreciate your time this afternoon.
Oh, of course. This is lovely.
And I really, for those that are listening, I definitely hope you took notes. If you didn't, the show is definitely archived. You can check us out and rewind the
right.
show. What moves you to move? We talked about a lot today, and I
we
feel
did.
Like this is a part one, man.
Oh, definitely. we can run this back.
I'm not going to front. I got my pencil in hand.
Nice.
Taking notes all afternoon. I know this helped me. I hope it helped you. Mr. Forsett, I hope you have a great rest of your Sunday.
I will. Thank
and,
you.
Thank you very much for being on the show.
It was a pleasure and an honor. Thank you, Devon.
Thank
I greatly appreciate that.
Before you leave, definitely let the people know where they can connect with you.
First thing, let's go old school. You can call me at 602-481-0650. That's my mobile.
Okay.
You can email me Dom, at leaders4leaders.co. That's leaders, the number 4, leaders.co. I'm on Instagram at Dom Fawcett, Facebook, Dom Fawcett, or Leaders for Leaders. Text me, IM me, DM me, whatever the words are these days. But contact me if you have questions. We'll set up a consultation and knock it out the park.
Definitely. And Mr. Fawcett is actually one of my friends on Facebook. So if you missed any of that, you can definitely connect with him on Facebook through my friends list. I appreciate my listeners. I do have some information to give you for an upcoming show, but Mr. Forsett, I'm going to let you go and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon.
You too. Thank you so much.
All right.